You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here for MLB.com Extras. With the Subway Series in town, we have a special edition of the Mets podcast. We headed out to Citi Field, catching up with MLB.com Mets reporter Anthony DiComo, as always, but joined by a special guest, WFAN Sweeney Murdy, to talk about both the Subway Series and the direction of these two teams after the trade deadline. All right, Subway Series back in New York. We kick this thing off in Queens, game one, of course, on Monday night. We're getting ready for game two here. Sweeney Murdy from WFAN and Anthony DiComo from MLB.com. So we have both sides of the action accounted for here. Seems it's always a little special when these two teams get together. What is it about the Subway Series? And it's the four-game set. They're switching ballparks halfway through. Sweeney, what makes this so special?
Two very passionate fan bases, and regardless of how the teams are doing, I think you can tell that they want to come out and see them. I mean, I hear all the time people say they're tired of the Subway Series, but when you look up, there's still full houses in the ballparks or close to it pretty much every time. So until you start seeing half the stands full, I won't believe people saying that they're tired of the Subway Series, unless they're from like California.
Yeah, you know, I was actually just talking to someone about this a couple hours ago. These games tend to be good. They tend to be close, tight, competitive games. And like you said, it doesn't really matter which team is heading in which direction and where they are in the standings. They always seem to be good games, whether it's a walk-off that we've seen multiple times in the Subway Series, or, Luis Castillo always comes to mind as one of those games that you remember. But even last night, a 10-inning game on a sacrifice fly, it's exciting. They're close games. You don't see any blowouts from there.
And I think the one thing that you notice is that both teams don't have to be in contention at the World Series. All you need is one team that needs to win games, and the other team's fan base wants to stop that from happening. So, like last year, these two teams met in September, and the Mets were going where they were going. I think the Yankee fans, felt like the games had a less meaning because you wanted to kind of beat the team or slow down the team that was going on their own.
Bragging rights is the basis for this whole thing in a lot of ways.
And it's interesting right now because you look at the records, almost identical, but when trade deadline comes around, the Mets are buyers, the Yankees are sellers, which still, the day after, just feels a little weird to say Yankees are sellers. But I think at this point they're still in the wild card race. We'll see what can happen. But when you look at this series as a whole, these four games, does it mean more to the Mets or the Yankees? We'll start with the Mets.
I think it has to be more for the Mets only because they're publicly going for it. They're all in. They traded for Jay Bruce and even a smaller deal for John Neese. And I agree with you. I think the Yankees can still get hot, can still make a run, even though they traded away some of their better players. It's possible. But for the Mets, it's what they're aiming to do. They're not looking to the future. They're not even looking to 2017 at this point. They're looking right now, these final 2 months, and making a similar type of run they had last year. So if they wind up falling flat and losing 3 or 4 to the Yankees, that's more of a problem, I would say, for them than for a Yankees team that is okay to wrap its head around the concept of maybe not winning.
I think the Yankees have clearly laid out their plan that it's not going to be about 2016. They're talking about the future. They're talking about making some more moves when they get back to the American League ballpark with DH and maybe shuffle the roster again. Gary Sanchez could be on his way very soon. One of their top prospects, good hitting catcher that they have at AAA. You've got other guys that you've been hearing about for a while, like Aaron Judge. Tyler Austin is having a good year for a space at AAA. These are the types of guys you're going to start to see with those, those at-bats coming at the expense of a guy like Alex Rodriguez. So this is not the Yankees you got used to. I've heard a lot of people say, they're sellers for the first time since 1989. They traded Ricky Henderson. They didn't trade Don Mattingly. They didn't trade, everybody else. They traded one player. This is the first time the Yankees have been sellers to this degree ever.
And it's funny you say that about the prospects coming in because the Mets are kind of doing the opposite. They turned over their clubhouse to four new players. They shipped out Brandon Nimmo, who they still think is a huge part of their future, to bring in a utility man in Ty Kelly because they want those at-bats now. They want those professional at-bats. They want to know what they're getting in a pennant race. You need to bring someone up in the eighth inning of the game to get ahead.
Well, plus, taking a page from not just the Yankees book, but from a contending team's book, all last winter we heard Dilson Herrera's name as the guy who but this is the guy who's going to step in at second base. This is why you can afford to let Daniel Murphy walk, because you're going to stop gap, and here comes Dustin Herrera. He's not going to be traded. He's not going to be traded. Guess what? Yesterday he was traded. So a little different perspective than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And believe me, they didn't love the idea of trading Dustin Herrera, but it's something you're willing to do. These are the sacrifices you make when you want to go for it. You want to be in that
You have
mode.
A window.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can tell we're at Citi Field, by the way. I'm sure you can hear the planes overhead. Nothing we can do about that. We couldn't pause the flight patterns for this thing. But we talked about the Yankees selling, and I feel like one of the reasons they've always been buy, we're never going to rebuild, we're not a team that rebuilds, is that they didn't think the fans would accept that. But I feel like after yesterday, the fan base, for the most part, I think the educated fans who follow baseball know how this game works now, they're on board with this plan. They like what happened yesterday. They see what these prospects could become. They've seen what the Cubs have done with all their young players. And the fan base overall, I feel like, is okay with not a long rebuild, but hey, all right, let's maybe throw in the towel a little this year, maybe stumble early next year, and let's see these young guys start coming
up. If it works the plan where next year the Yankees are contending, the fan base, I'm sure, is okay.
Well, that's
okay
the pitch, right?
That's not how it works. No. I mean, I think you have to be realistic about what might happen. If you're going to rely on young players, you might stumble a little bit. And, you know, the Yankees business model isn't necessarily built to rebuild. You're talking about a relatively new ballpark that you need to fill seats in. You know, the Cubs is they're a bad example. You know, you're going to get 30,000 people coming up to Wrigley Field no matter what type of team is out there. It's not necessarily built around a winning team. The Yankee business plan can't sustain a couple of years of this. It's more with the idea of maybe it's reloading and not rebuilding. The educated fan, yes, but if you have to be prepared for the fact the Yankees might lose 90 games if they go full bore with kids. Now, if 35,000 people are there and they're watching that, I'm sure the Yankees are fine with that. But if they're not, the fan that says we're okay with it, maybe they're home watching on TV, not sitting in the stands. You have to expect that if there are problems, growing pains, so to speak, that will affect attendance, and we'll see by how much. But that's where you find out how much people are actually willing to accept.
It's hard to go in between, though, and I know because I watched it with this other team with the Mets. They never did really game to game. Yes, they sold off Carlos Beltran at one point. They sold R.A. Dickey for prospects. But they never went and just blew up the roster like a lot of people thought they should at the time. Well, guess what? It took 5 long years of fourth-place finishes them to get back to where they wanted to be. I think if you could, tell Sandy Alderson that that was going to happen and go back and do it, he might have done it a different way, a quicker way. And yes, it would have resulted in more losses in the short term, but in the long term, it might have taken 3 years instead of 5. So it's a very tough balance to strike. You're not trying to do it the Astros way or the Phillies way or the Cubs way. You're trying to be competitive in the short term while also building that long-term juggernaut.
And they've built a formula here by reloading the farm system, which is already pretty good to begin with. Now they're shooting up to the top of the rankings. But listen, the Yankees know better than anybody. You don't throw parades in the Canyon of Heroes for having the best farm system. You have parades for winning World Series championships.
And the good thing about those prospects is they are close, too. It's not like they got a bunch of stud prospects who are in A-ball. I mean, these guys are going to come quick, so hopefully it's a quick turnaround for the Yankees. The Mets were buyers at the deadline. Jay Bruce is here in the lineup tonight, but it makes an interesting... You look at that outfield, now you have 4 outfielders, but you still don't have a center fielder. So what's the plan as far as the Mets outfield?
Interesting is a nice word to use. I wouldn't want Terry Collins' job.
Are you playing center field?
You know what? They might need me to at some point. And that's sort of the thing with this whole situation is that Terry Collins keeps racing me out, just batting practice before, to talk to Curtis Granderson about the situation. From his perspective, he was the right fielder, and now he's being told, you have to go play center a little bit. The Mets would love for you on assessments to be able to play center still, but they are very worried about his leg, which has been bothering him since before the All-Star break. I think in a perfect world, he will be able to do that once we get later into August and into September. But in the meantime, you're going to be putting a lot of different square pegs into that circle hole in center field. They're going to try and look at Conforto, who has played there, and it looks okay. They're going to try Granderson there. They might try Jay Bruce there. He seemed amenable to it today when the Mets kind of tested the waters with him. I think ultimately Cespedes is the answer, but it's going to be a lot of mixing and matching until we get to that point.
And how long does Cespedes stay healthy if he's playing center field? Because obviously that the risk just goes up that much. Until just, I guess, a few minutes ago, we didn't know who the starting pitcher was tomorrow night for the Yankees. We do now, though. I didn't know if maybe it was Luis Severino's turn, but it's not going to be, right, Chad?
Chad Green is going to start. They like what they've seen from him. You know, it could have been any one of them. It could have been Severino. They're going with Green. He's turned in a couple of good starts. This is, you know, this is kind of what you're going to see here. And just even if he turns in a bad start, doesn't mean that he's not part of the answer here. This is kind of what you're going to find out. You got to let the guys go through some things and kind of learn on the job here. You know, Green's one of the guys they got last winter from Detroit in the trade for Justin Wilson. And Luis Cessa is another one. And he's been a AAA, had a little cup of coffee with the big leagues. But he's been pitching AAA, and they have high hope for him, too. You're gonna see a lot of different guys come up and take their turns, and we'll see how many of them stick.
What is the, I mean, you talk to the organization, is there really a belief that this team can stay in that wild card race after what happened at the trade?
I think the thing you have to remember is that the players on the field and the manager in the dugout, they're trying to win today's game. And that's really all they are going to worry about. You know, I think overall we look at the roster, we look at the lineups, we look at the challenges ahead, and we say, okay, this team's probably not going to contend here. But you know, they're not looking to see what their record's going to be over the last 50 games. They're worried about today's game and whatever lineup they put out there. Those guys are trying to get hits, and the pitchers are trying to get outs. I mean, it's really, you know, focused to the smallest level for these guys. So, yeah, I mean, I think we look at it and say they're not going to stay in this. But you know, it's not going to keep those guys from trying to get hits in the ballgame.
There's certain markets where I think first impressions maybe go further than other markets. I think New York, Boston, Philadelphia. So how big is tonight for Jay Bruce? I mean, at home against the Yankees, I mean, it's New York. I mean, you go 0-4 with 3 strikeouts and suddenly, why did we trade for Jay Bruce? You get a big hit to drive in a couple runs and you're the savior.
Of course. And the question posed to Jay Bruce in his initial press conference was, I mean, you couldn't go really from a smaller market to a bigger market in this league, Cincinnati to New York. And he looked out at probably about 100 media members sitting there and he said, what are you talking about? This is exactly the same. I think you're absolutely right, Tim. He needs a hot start. But really, he just needs to be himself, because that's the player the Mets traded for. And if you remember last year, Yoenis Cespedes did not get off to a great start with the Mets. It took about 2 weeks before he really started hitting, and then once he did, he caught absolute fire. Certainly, fans didn't get on him for those first couple of weeks as much as we've seen them get on other players in the past. So I don't think he needs to go 3-for-4 tonight in his first game, but it would do wonders for him if he could get a home run in the next couple of games and just get that monkey up any player would have coming to a new team off his back.
All right, finishing things off here tonight, great pitching matchup. We got Tanaka and DeGrom. What do you expect to see in this one?
Well, it's 2 great pitchers, so I expect to see a lot of offense, because that's how it usually works, right? You know, from a Mets perspective, Jacob DeGrom doesn't ever seem to get the headlines that the other guys do, even that Steven Matz gets, compared to Noah Syndergaard, compared to Matt Harvey when he was healthy. I still think he might be the best pitcher of the bunch. If you had one game to win, I would put Jacob DeGrom out there. He's a bulldog. He gets it done. When he doesn't have his best stuff, he's great at getting it done in those situations. So I expect on a big stage like this, he will pitch very well.
Yeah, and Tanaka has just been—he's been very good all year. You know, it's—he doesn't have a lot of wins to show for it. A lot of no decisions early in the season, but I think you've seen a guy in the last couple of years that just figures out how to compete. And it's not about blowing anybody away at 95 anymore. It's really, it's fun to watch him pitch. You know, he's got an assortment of pitches. It's really fun to watch him attack certain hitters in certain lineups. And he's had success against the Mets, so I think he, you know, yeah, it'll probably be 10-9, but I'd like to think that we're looking at a 2-1 ballgame.
All right, Subway Series, it's always a lot of fun. For Anthony DiComo and Sweeney Birdie, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.